That truly is amazing. And I don't mean just because we're Canadians or because we live in a democracy and we're in the Western part of the world. And there's, I don't necessarily mean that. I partially mean that, that we're free to choose and we're free to make decisions because of that. But theologically, God has created us free, which is an amazing thing. Like, you're free to live the way you want to live. And God does not force you to do anything. That's what the story of Adam and Eve is about. Right in the first part of Genesis. Where so often we go back to that first part of Genesis and we just think, man, there is so much truth in that. And Adam and Eve miraculously had freedom of choice. God walked with them in the Garden of Eden. But they were free to either choose God or not choose God. Something that you know and something that I know is that whatever crossroads or whatever choice you need to make in your life is so important, because if you make a good choice, it will lead to good things, and if you make a bad choice, it will lead to bad things. That's why it's so important to choose wisely. Every single one of us is created free. And Adam and Eve made a choice, and paradise was lost. I watched a documentary. I mention documentaries too much, but I do. I really do love documentaries. There's on Netflix. There's a bunch of really good ones. I watched one on regret. Regret. The documentary was just that's what it was called. Regret. And people in that documentary spoke about the things that they regretted in their lives, and most of them were toward the ends of their lives. And they said things that you would expect them to say. I wish I could have spent more time with family. I wish I could have mended a broken relationship. I wish I would have found a way to forgive my friend. Those are answers you'd expect that the regrets that we tend to have. Somebody said, I wish I would have taken better care of my body. Some said, I wish I would have pursued my dreams more and not worried so much about being safe. The thing is, when you listen to people talk about their regrets, it's almost like you get a heads up, as if to say, don't make the same mistakes that I made. Like, here's what I regret, but you still have time in your life. What regret is the result of freedom of choice. That's what regret is. Somebody made a choice in their life, and it was not a good choice, and now they live with regret. Why did God give us freedom to choose? Now, here's a great image for this, if you look up at the screen. And this is from a movie that some of you saw. It's a movie about Robert Johnson, who was a blues guitar player. And the movie opened with this scene, farmland, wheat and corn as far as the eye can see. And as the camera pans up, we see a sign that says, "Welcome to Arkansas." And this old Buick rambles by, maybe mid-1930s, gigantic plume of dust following it. And the camera pans up more, and we see a man standing at the side of the road. And as the camera goes higher, higher in the opening scene of this movie, we see he's not just standing on a road, he's standing at a crossroads. And as the camera goes higher and higher, 50 feet up, and then 100 feet up, we realize in the symbol of a crossroads that this man standing there has a decision to make. And it's such a powerful image. Because the reality is, for every single person here, you're standing at some kind of a crossroads. Every single person here has some kind of a decision ahead of you. And oftentimes we just don't know which way to go. What decision? Why did God give us freedom to choose? Because there's a downside to being free. And the downside is we can make bad decisions. Freedom gives us the potential to make bad decisions. Adam and Eve made a bad decision. Why couldn't God just be the benevolent dictator? Do you remember studying that image in school, the benevolent dictator? Some kings, some queens in ancient Europe were benevolent dictators. They made all the decisions for their kingdom. And because they were benevolent, the people prospered. and everything was good. Why can't God just be a benevolent dictator so that we don't make bad decisions? I have this fantasy. Would you like to hear my fantasy?
Kind of enthusiasm that keeps this place rocking. This is a kind of a fantasy that I can share in church. I'd like to share this with you.
A marble staircase, winding, beautiful, opulent. And the marble staircase goes up into a mist, almost like a cloud. And as you climb the staircase, the mist breaks, and the blue sky is everywhere. And it's so bright you can hardly see. And then all of a sudden you see a presence that you know is God. And it's almost like a room that you can walk into. And you walk into that presence with the fullness of God there. And he's not really on a throne, but he's just there. God is just there. And you sit in front of God, and God tells you at that time exactly what God wants you to do. This is the job I want you to take. This is the advice I want you to give to your daughter. This is what I want you to do about that family problem. And God gives you exactly what you need to do. And I have in my fantasy, I have that appointment with God every single week. My fantasy is to not have to choose. I want to be told what to do, so that I don't make any mistakes with decisions in my life.
Well, we know that some of the crossroads we face are not important, really. Do you buy a new car, or do you settle with the old beater trying to get another 20,000 kilometers out of it? That's the option we've chosen in our family. Do you go to Cuba for the winter, or do you stay home and paint the kitchen? That's a crossroads. You have a decision to make.
Some decisions we know are huge, though. What career path? Should we have another child? How best to teach our children? What to do in our retirement years? And when you come into a church, you hear about Jesus, and Jesus says, as we will sing, "Follow me." And one of the most important crossroads we stand at is whether or not we're going to do that. What are we going to make of Jesus? How serious are we going to take Jesus? It's a crossroads. Bob Dylan sang about that crossroads. You're going to have to serve somebody. It might be the devil or it might be the Lord, but you're going to have to serve somebody. Which way do you go? Well, walking into God's office up there in heaven and getting direct orders around what I should be doing and all of these things, that's a fantasy. But here's something that's not a fantasy. We have help. We have help in making decisions. It's all through the Bible. It is the primary standing theme throughout the ancient Hebrew scriptures and throughout the New Testament scriptures that say, God will tell you, God will help you, God will give you direction around which way to go. And I want to show you three things that we have that we see in the life of Jesus. Beautifully basic, these three things. The first two, you'd be able to guess, maybe not the third. These things will help us when we're at the crossroads. And just this week, I've talked to two people from this congregation who are at a real crossroads, and they're really struggling. And I want to say, I hope this helps. But what I would say is, Jesus would say, this will help you. This is what Jesus would say. Because the reality is, Jesus stood at the same crossroads that you're standing today. Did you know that Jesus stood at a crossroads? Did you know there was a time in Jesus' life where he was trying to decide which way to go, and there were two voices that were pulling him in opposite directions? In that story in Luke chapter 4, the writer Luke describes it as being a wilderness. Jesus goes into the wilderness, and he's faced with the same crossroads that you and I are faced with. And so we ask, well, how did Jesus deal with it? What did he do? Where's the first one? You know this. Jesus turned to Scripture. Jesus knew the words of Psalm 119. God, your word is a light upon my path. Your word in scripture is a light upon my feet. It is so amazing to me that Jesus had the same scriptures that we have. The Hebrew scriptures that we call the Torah, Genesis, Deuteronomy, Leviticus, and into the Psalms that are in the middle of our Bible. Jesus knew those scriptures, and Jesus turned to scripture when he was trying to make a decision for his own life. I've heard people say, God never speaks to me. I've heard people say, I would do anything to hear the voice of God, because my friend claims to have heard the voice of God. I've never heard the voice of God. And if you said that to Jesus, he would say, here is God speaking to you. It's right here. And like as we've talked about before, for hundreds and hundreds, even thousands of years, people didn't have the benefit of having the written word right in front of them, did they? And it's only been in the last, since the Reformation, that we have the printed word. Every single one of us has the benefit of the written word. And Jesus said, it'll be the voice of God for you. But then we say, but so much of it I don't understand, Jesus. I don't understand. Well, firstly, two things. Firstly, there are people that are charged with the task of communicating the word of God to you in ways that you can understand. And it used to be back in the day that that was just your local minister. But now, you have no excuse. You can go online and have access to the greatest teachers of all time. You can watch videos of talented, blessed communicators of the written word that will help you understand. And secondly, here's what Jesus would say, study. You want to know the word of God and you don't understand it, study it. Jesus had so much of scripture memorized. He was always quoting scripture. Jesus would say, make an effort because nothing good comes easily. That's what I think Jesus would say. I would say, get yourself a study Bible. Talk about it. Pragmatic advice on a Sunday. Get yourself a study Bible. Judy will order you a life application Bible. There's commentary beside every Bible passage to help you understand. You read a passage, you think to yourself, I have no idea what that means. There are words right beside it that will help you understand. It's important because we believe that God's voice can be heard in those words. Well, when Jesus was in that wilderness time, he had something else that helped him make a decision. And Jesus talked about this presence. Jesus said, it's the same presence that hovered over the waters of the deep when God created the heavens and the earth. And Jesus reminds us that in Genesis chapter 1, that presence that Jesus called the Holy Spirit created new life. That's what the presence does. Just as in the beginning of the universe, that presence will create new life in your life today. And Jesus believed in it and he relied on it. Those words say, Jesus, who was full of the Holy Spirit, left the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness where for 40 days he was tempted. He relied on the Spirit. The book of Acts is all about how the Spirit empowers us to go into the world and do amazing things. That's what the whole book of Acts is about. When Jesus left, he said, I'll leave you with the power of my Holy Spirit. And the disciples are like, well, they were afraid because they didn't believe it. And then on the day of Pentecost, the Spirit came to them. And they went out into the world. And look, get this. They did the same miracles that Jesus did. The same. They raised the dead. That's the power of the Holy Spirit. And I know it's difficult to understand for some people. But there are people who will testify. I'll testify. I'll say this. When I'm in a difficult situation, and by that I mean, oftentimes I have to walk into a room and somebody is really suffering. And it could be a death, it could be some kind of tragedy, it could be someone that just is trying to find direction. And I walk in and I sit down with them face to face and I am thinking to myself, I have no idea how I could possibly be of any help to this person. That's what I think. And every single time I say a prayer or I ask that the power of the Holy Spirit just be a part of that and help me be the voice of God for them. And I can talk about how that has happened so many times that I can't explain. And I can easily talk about it because I'm not boasting about what I say. I'm not boasting about anything I do. I'm boasting about the reality that the Holy Spirit will help you in whatever it is you're doing. And if you're at a crossroads, the Holy Spirit will help you make a decision. Last thing. Because the Holy Spirit is hard for some of you to get your teeth into, it's so full of mystery. This last thing that helps us when we don't know which way to go. These are two incredible words. These are two words so important to our faith. And best of all, this is just so easy to understand. That's the last thing that'll help you find your way in your life. Those two words will help you make a decision in your life. All through the New Testament, over and over and over again. It's like the writers repeat something over and over, and not just in one letter, but in all the letters. And it's almost like, do they just think we're thick? Is that what it is? Is that why you keep repeating the same thing over? And they're like, I just don't want you to miss it. Just don't want you to miss it. Encourage each other in Romans, help each other, Philippians, carry each other's burdens, 1 Corinthians, forgive each other, build each other up, Galatians, bear with one another, love each other, oh yeah, that's right from Jesus, that one, love each other. Community is so important, it's so important. The Bible records that Jesus had community. It records 12 names of 12 disciples, but we know there were more people that traveled with him, and they all learned from each other, and they became friends. It was so important for Jesus. Jesus prayed, Our Father. Do you ever think about that? Jesus didn't pray, My Father. He prayed, Our Father. That's remarkable. Give us this day the things that we need. Forgive us. Lead us. For Jesus, the me goes to we really quickly. This is not a faith that isolates itself. We need each other to find our way. Have you ever been struggling with a problem and you sat down with a friend? Maybe in a church context. A Christian friend, and you sat down and you talked about a problem you have. One of two things will happen. The first thing that will happen, if that's ever happened to you, and I hope it does, where you can talk to a Christian friend about things you're going through, the first thing that will happen is that person maybe will give you some advice and you'll think to yourself, that's not even close. That's like that. You're not even close to what I'm thinking. And even then, even when you walk away without being any closer to decision made, you know that that person was there because they care about you and because they love you and because they're your family. And even in that is great comfort. The second thing that will happen when you sit down with someone and you share a struggle that you're having or that you can't make a decision, the second thing that will happen is that they will have words for you that are just gold. They will have words for you that you would just testify to anyone that came straight from God himself. And it doesn't matter how long they've been at the church, it doesn't matter how much they know about the Bible, it doesn't matter if they're educated or not, rich or poor, old or young. Sometimes that each other, that friend, will be the light upon your path. And Jesus knew that. And you get up from that conversation knowing the way to go, knowing the choice to make, knowing that God was there and those words shared. That's what we can do for each other. And I know so many of you have experienced that. I know you have. I don't want to imply to you that any of this is easy. None of this is easy, knowing which road to take. That's why my vision of going up into God's office up in heaven is just a fantasy. Because it's just never that easy. It's not that easy, even when we have the Word before us, and even when we believe in the company of the Spirit with us and experience that, and even when we have the words of our friends here in this community, it's not easy. It wasn't easy for Moses. He went 40 years through the desert with the people following him. It wasn't easy for Jesus in the wilderness. In Luke chapter 4 says he was 40 days and 40 nights. Even for Jesus, it wasn't easy. But he got there. And Moses got there. And so also will we. We've gotten there in the past. We'll get there in the future if we choose to follow the same voice and the same spirit and the same fellowship. Oh, by the way, God gives you freedom to choose because God loves you. To love is to set free. God loves you. Let's sing this song. This is a beautiful, classic hymn. And it's all about this. It's about how God will help us find our way. He leadeth me.